stay inside their homes. However, political analysts say such measures are adding to the public anger.
They failed to find a tangible solution to Kashmir problem, and youth expected that they will move forward on Kashmir issue, but there has been no progress. And out of desperation, the youth are on streets and they don't want to live this life continuously of oppression and tyranny.
Despite strict curfew in place, hundreds poured onto the streets shouting anti-India slogans and government vehicles were set on fire. The death in early June of a teenager by a police tear gas shell sparked a series of violent protests in Kashmir, in which at least 45 people have been killed, 27 of them since Friday. However, security forces say they opened fire in retaliation for the attacks by stone-throwing mob. Underlining the worsening situation in Kashmir, the Chief Minister Umar Abdullah has sought urgent reinforcement to end the protest that his government seems unable to contain. The central government has decided to send nearly 2,000 paramilitary force personnel to the valley, while another 3,200 currently based in the state will be redeployed in trouble-torn areas.
Actually, people over here expected that they will go for demilitarization of the state. And by sending more troops, Indian state is depicting its stubbornness and depicting its mood of suppressing people through use of force. It will infuriate the situation further.
Though Indian officials like to put the blame for the unrest on the foreign-backed pro-independence Kashmiris, analysts say it's the spontaneous result of years of pent-up frustration and anger over alleged abuse by police and paramilitary forces. The 20 years of unrest in Indian Kashmir has claimed thousands of lives. India and Pakistan each hold part of Kashmir but claim it in full and have fought two wars over the region since independence in 1947. Analysts say the unrest in Indian-controlled Kashmir seems to be getting out of control as no progressive steps have been taken so far. In the meantime, government has called for more security and people say this is adding to their frustration. Shahana Bhatt reporting for Press TV in Indian-administered Kashmir.
A U.S. congressman has called for the execution of an army private suspected of leaking information to whistleblower website WikiLeaks. Member of the House Intelligence Committee Mike Rogers says the charges against Bradley Manning deserve capital punishment. Manning is accused of leaking over 90,000 secret documents about the Afghanistan war, including untold killings of civilians by U.S.-led forces. He is also accused of leaking a helicopter cockpit video showing U.S. soldiers killing Iraqi civilians. Private Manning was transferred last week from Kuwait to a military base in the U.S. state of Virginia. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says the army private is a political prisoner. Assange says the military is keeping Manning away from the press and effective legal representation. Writer and commentator Stephen Lenman has told Press TV that the leaked documents of the Afghan war prove mass censorship in the U.S. media. Let's take a listen.
The information is very heavily controlled, censored, sanitized in U.S. media reports. I could never go on U.S. TV and be able to talk the way I'm talking now. I salute you for what you're doing. This is impossible in America. The media has beaten up on Bradley Manning. The media will echo what this Congressman Rogers has to say. I honestly don't know very much about him, but he's not alone. There are others who are extremely hostile. They want this man severely punished. I think Rogers is a little bit over the top, saying he should be executed. But I think you know that President Obama, some months back, said publicly that his administration will assassinate U.S. citizens in other parts of the world who we call terrorists or who are involved in terrorism. We don't need any proof. We don't need any evidence, just that we said they're involved with terrorism.
Writer and commentator Stephen Lenman there. Let's go to Pakistan now with the devastating floods that continue claiming lives and causing huge destruction in that country on Wednesday. Flooding ravaged hundreds of villages in Pakistan's main province of Punjab after claiming scores of lives in the country's northeast. The army has been using boats and helicopters to move stranded villagers to higher ground. The situation is also alarming in the southern province of Sindh, where significant rainfall is expected. The floods have affected over 3 million people so far. More than 1,500 have also lost their lives. Authorities say diseases such as cholera are rapidly spreading among the survivors.
Lebanon says the trees Israel was trying to cut down just before clashes erupted between the two sides were on Lebanese soil. Lebanese Information Minister Tariq Mitri says the trees were in an area Beirut considers part of its territory. Now, this is while Israel and the UN peacekeeping force in the area dispute Lebanon's stance. Clashes erupted on Tuesday after Israeli troops tried to uproot the trees. The three Lebanese soldiers and a journalist, as well as a senior Israeli officer, were killed in the conflict. Now, to discuss the Lebanon-Israel tensions a little further, we're being joined by Middle East expert Mohammed Awais. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, many are still trying to understand the reasoning behind the incident itself that took place on Tuesday morning. We've seen the UN side with Israel, but now considering Israel's diplomatic overtures with Lebanon of the last few months, is the situation as simple as they claim?
Well, no, the situation is very complex in the Middle East, but Israel made the mistake of their life by trying to uproot that tree that belongs to the Lebanese. It's on Lebanese land, and they get the surprise of their life. All the time they try to vilify Hezbollah as a terrorist organization and as only intent is to destroy Israel. And all of a sudden, they had to fight the Lebanese army. And it's a big proof that the soldiers, the martyrs, the martyred Lebanese soldiers were of both communities in Lebanon, a Christian and Muslims. And it showed that not Hezbollah, all Lebanese, Christians and Muslims, and the Lebanese army are in the defense, united in the defense of Lebanon. And it showed the whole world that Israel cannot be the one who will continue to work with impunity and to attack Lebanon at will. I think this is a lesson for the Israelis and a lesson for everybody in the region there to understand that there is nobody above the law and nobody can have hegemony and the control over somebody else's land.
Right now, Israel regularly operates in the enclave on the other side of the fence with Lebanon and violates Lebanese airspace. Over the past, Israel has interpreted U.S. ambiguity or lack of concrete action as support for its own actions. Now, as the U.S. openly defends Israel's maneuvers, what does this say for any future role the U.S. could have played in the region?
Well, the U.S. is not there to defend the Israelis. The Israelis were not able to defend themselves in this incident, and they had to run away back into their borders, into the borders that are recognized by the International Armistice Treaty in 1949, and they cannot claim the Lebanese land that it borders Palestine. I call it Palestine. I never go to the name Israel, and say they want a buffer zone that is empty and there are no Lebanese there. The Lebanese have claimed their sovereignty there, and they are anybody in the world is welcome to come and help the Israelis defend themselves. The Israelis cannot do it, and whether the United States, whether Europe, or anybody else in the world, they cannot continue to do this, and they have tried it. They tried it in 2006, and they failed. Now they have the whole community against them in the region there, and I think they will fail if they try to do anything against Lebanon, its sovereignty, its land, and its people.
Right. Now, many have linked these tensions with Israel's ultimate expansionist policies for the greater Middle East. Now, considering the diplomatic and strategic defeats it has suffered in Lebanon and Gaza over the past few years, how feasible are such views?
Listen, the greatest Middle East, and when we have a deterrent force in the region, in the Middle East, to deter Israel and its friends from trying to overtake these lands of the Arabs and the Muslim world. They have some weak souls in the region there. They have Egypt on the south. They have Jordan on the other side. That they're still cooperating with them. But the will of the people, it shows once and time and time again that when the will of the people comes to the street, nobody can stop it. And the prime example is Lebanon. And I think Israel is on its way down in the region as the only dominant power. And I think with more powers in the Middle East coming to be a deterrent power against Israel, Israel's position in the Middle East is going to diminish, and then they will come down on their knees in order to give up the lands they are acquiring by force from the Arab and the Muslim world.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Middle East expert Muhammad Away speaking to us from Washington. Many thanks indeed for your insight here on Press TV, sir.
Meanwhile, Lebanese authorities have arrested yet more people on suspicion of spying for Israel. Lebanese security officials have detained a high-ranking army officer along with a Christian party member and a telecom firm employee in the latest round of the spy hunt in Lebanon. The arrests come only 1 week after three other telecom employees were detained over similar charges. Some 100 suspects have already been arrested as part of a broad espionage investigation. If found guilty, they may face the death penalty. Senior Lebanese security officials have said the arrests have dealt a major blow to Israel's spying networks in Lebanon.
Oh, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Civilian death toll is rising in Kashmir as anti-Indian protests continue there. A U.S. congressman calls for the execution of an army private suspected of leaking information to whistleblower website WikiLeaks. And flooding wreaks havoc in Pakistan's main province of Punjab, destroying homes and threatening more lives.
And still ahead here on Press TV, we're going to be discussing the U.K.'s housing crisis. That and more.
Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said U.S. President Barack Obama has failed to fulfill his promise of change made during the presidential election.
این همون قولی است که در انتخابات دادیم پس تغییر اتفاق افتاد من میگم اولا شما در انتخابات گفتی کل نیروها رو میبریم چرا حالا میخوای یه عده‌شون رو در عراق بذاری برای چی به چه دلیل اینا میخوان در عراق بمونن در ثانی از عراق میرن کجا میرن بخش مهمیشون میخوان برن در افغانستان خب این چه تغییری شد
Well, Ahmadinejad was addressing crowds of people in the Iranian city of Hamadan. The president also referred to the dispute with the West over Iran's nuclear energy program. He said Tehran is open to talks based on mutual respect, but will not bow to bullying policies. Ahmadinejad noted that the era of colonialism is over. He also dismissed the recent sanctions against Iran over its nuclear energy program. Ahmadinejad added the sanctions will not affect the nation.
The United Nations has urged the Iraqi politicians to end the political deadlock in their country. In a statement, the UN Security Council asked Iraq's political parties to comes after UN Chief Ban Ki-moon made a similar plea in his latest report on Iraq. He warned the continued delays in forming a government can fuel a growing sense of uncertainty in the country. According to the polls, no single Iraqi party enjoys a majority in the parliament.
Latest clashes between Somali government forces and al-Shabaab fighters have left at least 21 people dead. Now, the fighting erupted in the village near the Ethiopian border. Officials say seven soldiers were among the dead and that the number could be higher as there are uncovered bodies. The al-Shabaab fighters are now reportedly in control of the area. Local witnesses say fighters have sent reinforcement to the region. Others say some Ethiopian officials were helping Somali government forces in the fighting. This is the government has announced that Ethiopian troops pulled out of the country in January 2009.
A top U.S. official has raised concerns that the vast oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico could leave a long-term impact on the affected areas. Three-quarters of the oil has been accounted for so far. Meanwhile, oil giant BP has claimed success in nearly plugging the ruptured oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. The company said its so-called static kill operation of pumping mud into the well has had good results. Millions of barrels of crude have spilled into the Gulf of Mexico for 106 days since a BP oil rig exploded on April the 20th.
Britain's social housing system could undergo a massive overhaul under the plans announced by Prime Minister David Cameron in a bid to save public money. But could the proposed scheme cost more than it saves? Our correspondent Verena Alam finds out in this report.
And the point, according to the housing and homelessness charity Shelter, is that there just aren't enough affordable houses to meet the needs of people.
Well, we're really glad that the government's looking at the issue of the housing crisis and things like overcrowding, but we really feel that this isn't the issue they should be looking at. The major problem we have is an undersupply of housing in the UK, and tampering with the security of tenants, particularly vulnerable tenants in the social sector, really won't help alleviate this. Well, we're very concerned that that may disincentivise people from taking up employment and increasing their income. It would be basically saying to people that as they get a job, as their income increases, then they'll potentially risk losing their home.
Some local councils have backed Cameron's idea, saying it could help ease housing shortages and increase choice for tenants living in overcrowded accommodation. But the opposition Labour...
We're not as well convinced that there's any evidence that this will actually save any money in the medium to long term in this period of trying to reduce the budget deficit. Reviewing all these tenancies every 5 years will mean reviews that have to be conducted in the hundreds of thousands at some stage, and that's a whole series of bureaucrats that will have to be employed to do these reviews, which will cost untold amounts of money.
Already a senior member of the coalition, Deputy Leader of the Liberal Democrats Simon Hughes has blasted the idea, saying his party won't be easily swayed into backing it. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, Farina's report brings us to the end of another edition of the international news here on Press TV. All the W's.PressTV.ir is the web address through which you can get your latest top stories on what's been happening in your world today. Check out the top stories as well as the latest on PressTV.ir. Watch us live and listen to us live. That is, if you don't have us already on your satellite televisions. All the W's.PressTV.ir.
Well, coming up next is Sports International with Amir Hossein.